And we welcome you into another edition of Saturday Tailgate ESPN 102.5 The Game. I am Marquise Munson. Thank you guys for tuning in. For the next hour, we'll be bringing you some hard-hitting championship weekend football. Championship weekend. It seems like this season has flown by. And I'm playing it in my head as Captain Kurt's behind the glass. The End of the Road by Boyz II Men, because it's a sad song. It's a song about something ending, and this is kind of how I feel, because once you get to championship weekend, it's pretty much like, oh, it's coming to an end. College football is only a month away from ending. And we have some big games today to break down. Oklahoma and Baylor, that game will be followed by this show, and that game begins at 10 o'clock, so that game will be an interesting game to watch as well. But last night we had some action, some Pac-12 football action. Not a lot of action coming from one end of the spectrum, and that is Utah. Now, Oregon won that game 37-15. Oregon Ducks winning the Pac-12 championship game, a two-loss team. Obviously lost that season opener to Auburn, and then lost to Arizona State. And what's funny about this game, and before we break this game down, it's funny to me, because 3 weeks ago, we had this discussion on the Pac-12 having this opportunity to finally get over the hump. This is 3 weeks ago now. Both teams had three games left. You know, I think Utah had some cupcake teams thrown in there. The UCLAs, the Colorados, Arizona of the world. Oregon kind of had the same similar schedule. Oregon State and then Arizona State. Games that you pretty much, you know, could easily get by. And I remember having Braden, you know, who's also with 102.5 The Game, having him on Saturday Tailgate, and we had the discussion that, you know, this is Arizona's one of those states where, you know, dreams go to die. And guess what? It happened for Oregon. And, you know, we go into this like, okay, Oregon and Utah, they're going to go into the Pac-12 championship game. Both teams are going to have one loss. And then, you know, that's going to determine one of the spots for the college football playoffs. But then Oregon laid an egg. And I don't know if Ducks can lay eggs. But I wasn't really good at my zoology when I was in high school. But I do know the answer, by the way. But anyway, but they laid an egg against Arizona State. And it's funny, because watching that game, I was looking at this Oregon defense like, what are you doing out there? Like, I can't blame Justin Herbert for that loss against Arizona State, because it seemed like every time Oregon would score the football, all of a sudden it would be a bounce back by Arizona, because Oregon couldn't get their defense straight. Now, all of a sudden, Utah runs the table. They do what they were supposed to do. Run the table, be a one-loss team. I understand you lost the game to USC, but it's still not a bad loss, because, and you'll hear that word a lot throughout the show, bad losses, good losses, bad losses, but, or good wins, bad losses, but that wasn't a bad loss, because USC is ranked in the top 25. They've had a good season under Clay Helton. Clay Helton's going to return for another season. And they run the table, and they're a one-loss team. So now the Pac-12, their college football postseason falls in the hands of Utah. And Utah basically controls their own destiny. They go in that game as a favorite against a guy who's probably going to go in the first round of – not even probably. He is going to be he's probably not going to be the first pick of the draft. That's probably going to end up going to Joe Burrow. But this guy's going to the NFL. You know, it's a game that, you know, although your offense probably can't keep up with Oregon's, and we saw that last night, you know, your defense is really elite. That's all we heard about Utah all season. How elite, how good their defense is. One of the best defenses in the country. That's all we heard all season long. And guess what? Their defense also laid an egg for the Pac-12. And I don't know what a Ute is, but a Utes can't lay eggs. I do know that for a fact. But they laid an egg against Oregon 37-15 lost that game. CJ Verdell had one of his best games of the season, 208 yards, three touchdowns. Guess what? This Utah defense that we talked about how they were so good this year, they've only gave away four touchdowns the entire season. The entire season, this defense have let four rushing touchdowns, and Verdell had three last night. So they lose that game, and they had so many opportunities, you know, and it wasn't like Utah's offense was just awful last night. It was just miscues, I want to say some of it was like poor play calling, but some of it was execution. Like, let's say, for example, there's a lot of fourth and shorts in this game that Utah just failed to convert. If it's fourth and one and you have one of the best running backs in the country in Zach Moss, who's had a tremendous season, and he tried his best to get Utah this win, and it just couldn't get the job done. But Zach Moss, fourth and one, I wonder who Utah's going to give the ball to. Probably Zach Moss, right? Fourth and one, short, you know, I'm going to give it to Zach Moss. And then they failed on that conversion. This was the first possession of the game to where, yeah, you could have got a field goal out of it. You could have went up 3-0. You know, I know you wanted to make a statement early, but you didn't have to go for that fourth and one, but they did, and they end up not converting it. And then that's followed by another fourth and two conversion that they failed to get. And then you have Tyler Huntley, who had a receiver wide open that could have gave them a first down. He decided, no, I don't want the first down. I'm going to go deep. I'm going to challenge this Oregon secondary. He went deep, and guess what? It was picked off. So it was just poor miscues by Utah's offense that cost them the game. And also their defense, allowing CJ Verdell to just rush all over that defense that we just praised. Oh my God, they're so good. They're good. They're Auburn level. They're Auburn level good. No, they're not. They're not Auburn level good. Auburn's pretty good. Auburn's got some first rounders on that defense. But they just gave the game away to them. And then what's funny about it is, as I'm watching this game, and finally Tyler Huntley and this Utah offense is catching some rhythm. They're finally figuring things out. You know, they get a touchdown. They're like, okay, we got this. We can come back in this game. Oregon had a miscue on the snap where, you know, Justin Herbert had to get it in his own end zone, and then that could have led to a, you know, another point, but it didn't. And it's just Utah once again, and the Pac-12 disappoints themselves. And we say this all the time, how the Pac-12, the reason why they're never in these positions to compete for a college football playoff is because they beat each other up every season. That's not because they're the best. And I know a lot of people will say this. A lot of Pac-12 enthusiasts would say this. That, oh, no, it's because the competition level is just so good. No, that's not the case. Because every conference has its elite teams, they're really good teams, and the teams that are just trying to get by to a bowl game. When you look at the SEC, they're elite teams. Georgia, Alabama, Florida and Auburn. LSU this year is probably elite, but Florida and Auburn are probably the really good teams. Not elite, but they're really good. You look at the ACC, they have their elite team in Clemson, but they don't have anybody else outside of that, and we'll talk about that a little later when we talk about Clemson. When you look at the Big 12, they've had elite teams this year with Baylor being undefeated and Oklahoma having a good season. And then you have the really good teams. And then you have the, you know, teams that are just trying to get by and make it to a bowl game. Texas, Longhorns, you guys. Same thing for the Big Ten. Big Ten has these elite teams in Penn State and Ohio State. And they have really good teams like Minnesota, who's really good this year. Wisconsin, who's really good this year outside of the loss to Illinois and Santa Claus himself and Lovie Smith. And then you have Michigan. And then you have other teams in that conference that just kind of get by for a bowl game. Guess what? The Pac-12 don't have that. They just have really good teams like Oregon, Washington not so much this year, and then Utah. And then they have other teams that just get by. The Arizona States of the world. And Arizona State, and I love Arizona State. I love what Herm Edwards is able to do with that program, but they're just trying to get by with the motions. And that's the problem. The Pac-12 just does not have an elite team that you can rely on. And guess what? It only gets worse. Because next year, you don't have Chris Peterson. How much are you going to rely on a first-year head coach in Jimmy Lake to take that team where Chris Peterson couldn't even take them? Chris Peterson couldn't even take them to a college football playoffs. I know he did one way back when they got, you know, destroyed by Alabama. But are you expecting Jimmy Lake to do what Chris Peters couldn't do this year? Chris Peterson? And then, you know, what are you going to get out of the California teams? California Bears had an okay season in the beginning, but they fumbled it away later on. And then you look at UCLA and USC. USC keeps Clay Helton. What is Clay Helton going to bring to that program that was any different than this year? Now, they're a top 25 team, so you have to give all the credit in the world to what Clay Helton was able to do for a guy. He basically did what Coach Ed Orgeron did a couple years ago when Coach L was on the hot seat and everybody wanted him out. And then all of a sudden he emerges as this, you know, top head coach in the SEC, not named Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, and Gus Malzahn and Dan Mullen. He started putting his name in that conversation, and now they're possibly going to go in the college football playoffs this year. So maybe Clay Helton can do that, what Coach O did. Maybe he can be that guy. But then you got Chip Kelly at UCLA, which he's once again going with the motions. Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards, I love Herm Edwards. But is Herm Edwards the head coach that's going to get a team to 10 wins? Is he going to be that coach? We'll find out next year. But then you got Mario Cristobal, who's going to lose his quarterback in Justin Herbert because he's going to the draft. And then you got Utah, we don't know what Utah team we're going to get. Is this defense still going to be as good as they were this year, next year? Huntley's not going to be there. Zach Moss may not be there. So it's only going to get worse because there's – and then also I forgot about Mike Leach. Hey, what is Mike Leach going to do? Is he going to figure out how to play defense finally? And stop trying to outscore teams like he tried to do against UCLA and couldn't get a stop, and then they let UCLA beat them by scoring 60-something points? It's only going to get worse for the Pac-12. And this and it's funny because we have we've had guys and the talking heads on TV talk about how good Utah and Oregon were and how they can even beat Alabama. Look, I'm not a big firm believer of Mac Jones. I wasn't. He proved something in that Auburn game to me because I felt like Mac Jones just was, you know, playing Western Kentucky and, you know, the Arkansas of the world. And he was looking good against those teams. But I wanted to see him against valuable competition. And he proved himself. You can't even tell me that an Oregon team and a Utah team can beat Alabama with Mac Jones at quarterback. Let alone Tua. There's no chance that they can beat Alabama with Tua in the starting lineup. But you cannot tell me that the Utah team we saw last night, that offense that we saw last night, they can even come close to beating a team like Alabama or a team like Auburn for that matter, even with Bo Nix. Because guess what? Bo Nix beat the team that you lost to last night. So, once again, the Pac-12 not in playoff contention as they do every single year. And guess what? They're probably not going to be in it next year either. So guess what, Pac-12? Enjoy the Rose Bowl, smell the roses, and you'll love it. When we come back, we'll talk about some teams that actually have a shot at the college football playoffs. We're going to be talking about Ohio State, Wisconsin, and also Dabo Swinney. The college football playoff seems to be against Dabo Swinney. At least according to Dabo Swinney. More on Saturday Tailgate right here, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Welcome back. Saturday Tailgate, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Marquise Munson here with you, breaking down championship weekend. Oklahoma-Baylor will be followed with, after this show, at 10 o'clock. Their game starts at 11. Pre-game starts at 10 right here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Also, if you want a little hockey action, because guess what? one of your favorite players, maybe one of your favorite players, definitely one of my favorite players of the Nashville Predators, is returning tonight. P.K. Subban returns as the New Jersey Devils go against the Nashville Predators tonight. Pregame starts at 6 o'clock. And if you want some college hoops, which I love me some college hoops, love some college hoops, but trust me, after college football is over with, all I'm going to be doing is watching college basketball. MTSU takes on Murray State at 6:30, and that is on 94.9 Game 2. So a lot of action. If you like every sport, if you like hockey, hockey's tonight. If you like a little basketball, for you know, you can watch that tonight as well. And you can also watch Oklahoma and Baylor. So a lot going on today. And speaking of championship weekend, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Ohio State, the number one team in the country, going up against number eight Wisconsin. And these two teams faced each other early on in the season, where I was hoping that Wisconsin would have been good at the time, but then, you know, they lost to Illinois a week before this game actually happened. So Ohio State got the win 38-7 in that game. Justin Fields didn't have to do a lot. He threw for 167 yards, but a lot of that game was J.K. Dobbins, who had 163 yards and two touchdowns, and obviously that defense was menacing in that game. Jonathan Taylor had 52 yards in that last matchup against Ohio State, and then also Chase Young, who, outside of J.K. Dobbins, another guy on this Ohio State team that possibly could be for Heisman consideration. Chase Young had four sacks in this game. So a lot in that game, and I don't think there's going to be, I think we're going to get a duplicate of the same game we saw early on this season. This Ohio State team, and I know we're looking at scenarios that, hey, if Ohio State loses this game, they could potentially still make it. I don't think they're going to lose this game. I just don't see this Ohio State defense, this Ohio State offense. Everything seems to be clicking for this team. And I thought Michigan would be their road bump, but even Michigan could not stand a chance against this Ohio State team. I think this Ohio State team is on a mission. Ryan Day has done a great job with what he's done with this program in his very first season at Ohio State, and I just think this game is going to go down as a Ohio State victory. And, you know, Wisconsin, they're just so one-dimensional. They play physical defense, and then they don't play a lot of good offense because, guess what, they're predictable because they're just going to run it with Jonathan Taylor the entire game and try to beat up that Ohio State defense. But that's not an Ohio State defense you could beat up, because they got a guy like Chase Young who, in my opinion, if I'm an NFL team, I'm getting that guy first, especially if I don't need a quarterback. You know, that's going to be the first pick of the draft of any team that does not need a quarterback. So if you're the Washington Redskins, if you're somebody who kind of already has a quarterback in mind, I may go with Chase Young and boost up that defense because he's just good. And we'll see how good he is today when he goes up against Wisconsin, and I think that's going to be an Ohio State victory. No point to even say, what if Ohio State loses? Do they still get in? They're going to get in regardless. This is just an extra game for Ohio State to get ready for the college football playoffs. I think that's all this is. So I think Ohio State wins this game big, and Wisconsin, you know, probably go enjoy a bowl game somewhere. I don't know where. Maybe the Rose Bowl. I don't know. But go enjoy your bowl game. But someone else that we'll talk about, because tonight they got a matchup at 6:30. Clemson, Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers going up against Virginia. Virginia ranked 23rd in the nation. You know, Bryce Perkins has had a good season for Virginia. They got that win against Virginia Tech that gave them this opportunity to face up against Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers. And Dabo seems to be, and I saw this a lot on Twitter, that he's starting to be the most annoying coach in college football. And I love Dabo. He's the most likable, dislike person in college football. Because you like the guy, but he just is, he says so many things that are annoying. If college players were to get paid, I'm going to quit football. Things like that. And then also last week, he talked about the college football playoff committee. Now, mind you, they had South Carolina last week, And obviously South Carolina beat Georgia early on in the season. Georgia has an opportunity to make it to the college football playoffs if they win the SEC championship against LSU, and we'll talk more about that game in the next segment. But Dabo seems to have this thing in the back of his mind that says that the college football playoff committee is against him and the Clemson Tigers. Here's what Dabo had to say last week after that victory against South Carolina.
How important is this game? It's huge. I mean, it's huge from a national standpoint, because obviously if we lose this game, I mean, they're going to kick us out. They don't want us in there anyway. We'd drop to 20, you know. I mean, Georgia loses to this very same team, and the very next day it's how do we keep Georgia in it? We'd win to the team that beat South Carolina, and it's how do we get Clemson out? It's the dadgummest thing. So it's big because, you know, they can't vote us out. I mean, we got to go 30-0. I mean, we ain't got no choice because we don't play nobody.
You're right, Dabo, you don't. Look at your schedule. You don't play anybody. Now, it's fun because Dabo seems, and I understand his frustration that, you know, hey, we have not lost a game in the Trevor Lawrence era. We have not lost a game since Alabama in the semifinal game of the college football playoffs a couple years ago. We have not lost a game since, and yet we still feel like we're disrespected. And look, Dabo, you're always in the conversation of the college football playoffs. So I don't know what your argument is here, that because you're always in the conversation every single year. You remember that year, Dabo, that you lost to Syracuse? Guess what? That year that you lost to Syracuse, you still made it to the college football playoffs. So I don't get this we have to win every game mentality, Dabo, because you lost to a bad Syracuse team, and guess what? You still got in the college football playoffs. So knock it off with that. Like, because you're trying – what Dabo's doing is – because the conversation is, and I just said it a few minutes ago talking about Ohio State, that regardless of what happens in this game, Ohio State's in. You know, regardless of what happens in the SEC championship game with LSU, LSU's in. And he hears that, and then everybody's like, so what about Clemson? Now, if Clemson loses, we'll have a conversation. So he hears that, and he's like, oh, that's not fair. Like, how come Ohio State and LSU can you know, lose their conference championship game and still be in? And if I lose mine, there's a conversation that needs to be had. You know why? Because LSU's beaten Florida, Auburn, Alabama on the road, I might add. They beat some good teams. Guess what? Ohio State has beat Michigan. They beat Penn State. They've beat some pretty elite teams. So that's why that these conversations, Dabo, are being had, is because when you look at your schedule, the only ranked opponent you have beaten this year, guess what? It was Texas A&M. And they were ranked 12th at the time. And guess what? They're not ranked anymore. So it's and I know people, we're kind of the prisoner of the moment thing. We look at that North Carolina game, and it was 21-20. And obviously, if North Carolina would have got that 2-point conversion, this would be a one-loss Clemson team that we're talking about. And they've pretty much dominated their opponents ever since then. You know, they're scoring over 45 points a game since that loss. I think they had 38 against South Carolina, so that kind of ended that drought. But ever since then, they had six games where they scored more than 45 points. Three of those games were over 50. So, but guess what? Who those opponents were? Florida State. Guess what Florida State did? They fired their coach this year. Louisville. Well, Louisville's making some strides to be better. They've had some good moments this season. But they're not ranked either. Boston College. Wofford. I bet Oregon wished they had Wofford in the season opener instead of Auburn. A Wofford team that you beat 59-14. North Carolina State. Wake Forest. Who Wake Forest? They were same thing as Louisville. They're good at moments this year, but you beat them 52-3. And then you had South Carolina, who, yeah, they did beat Georgia. They did. And Georgia's still in the college football playoff conversation, and I guess that frustrates you, Dabo, but handle business against Virginia. I don't see Virginia winning this game at all. But college football is a sport of ifs. What if? What if this happens? What if this happens? We love scenarios. We love hypotheticals. We love all that when it comes to college football. And let's say Virginia were to win this game. Bryce Perkins has a big game like he did against Virginia Tech. And this Virginia team wins this game. Then what is the conversation going to be? That's going to be the biggest question. And then what if Georgia wins? What if Georgia wins? That means LSU's one loss. And then let's say Oklahoma wins. They're one loss. And like I said, I think regardless of what happens in that SEC championship game, what we'll talk about on the other side, regardless of what happens, LSU's in. So that leaves one spot left. That leaves one spot. Ohio State, LSU, Georgia, and that leaves one spot. And so now it's going to be determined, is your resume better than Oklahoma's? Oklahoma hasn't played anybody either, but guess what they have done? They've beat a top 10 team twice if they were to win today. They would have beaten Baylor twice while they were a top 10 team. Once when they were undefeated and with one loss. And they beat Oklahoma State to end the season, who's also ranked. And they won that game convincingly. At the time they played Texas, Texas' only loss was against LSU. And that was a shootout. LSU had to scrap that game on the road. And obviously, they couldn't stop Joe Burrow. But Sam Ellinger had a good game in that game. And they could have, that game could have easily went either side. But that was a Texas team that lost their second game against Oklahoma. And that's not going to be the marquee win of their resume. But then you have the conversation, who do we put in? Clemson, look. I think Clemson defensively with Isaiah Simmons, offensively with Travis Etienne, Trevor Lawrence is having a really good quiet season. I think they're good. They're really good. But the question for the committee would be, if they do lose this game, which, guess what, here's my prediction, I don't think they will. But like I said, this is a sport of ifs. If they were to lose this game, that would be the main conversation, is how do you value their resume compared to Oklahoma's, compared to even if Baylor. Their best chance if they lose this game is if Baylor loses, because then their resume can be comparable to Baylor's. But will it be to Oklahoma's? And that's going to be the biggest question. And speaking of Oklahoma-Baylor, we'll talk about that game on the other side. Also, the SEC championship game, LSU-Georgia. We'll talk about that on the other side. You're listening to Saturday Tailgate, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Ah, yes. I'm only going to be able to hear that song one more time, and that is today when the Georgia Bulldogs take on the LSU Tigers. Just let it soak in for just a second. Let me just listen to it. Oh, my God. Captain Kerr, just turn up just a little tad bit. Just. Woo. Okay, you can turn it down. You can turn it down. Okay. Oh, man. Enjoy that song, because guess what? That is going to be the last time you hear that song for another season. And let's just pay our moment of silence for, you know, the SEC on CBS theme song. Okay, there we go. I had to let that soak in, Captain, because that song's amazing. It just oozes college football. I love it. But LSU, Georgia tonight, or today actually, 2:30. That game to me, now when I look at this Georgia team, and there's a lot not working in Georgia's favor in this game. You know, DeAndre Swift has a shoulder injury. He's expected to play, but you don't know how limited he's going to be. Also, you lose a lot of wide receivers in this game. And that's also going to be a factor. You know, Lawrence Cager, he's going to be out for the season possibly with an ankle surgery. And then George Pickens, if you watch the Georgia Tech game, he practically tried to, you know, beat up a Georgia Tech player and threw him on the side, and he's going to be suspended for a half. And that's going to be a big loss for them as well. And for a quarterback like Jake Fromm, who's had a slump in the last couple weeks, matter of fact, let's not even say a couple weeks, the whole entire season, he's had a slump. Now you're going to have to rely on Demetrius Robinson. You're going to have to rely on, you know, Baylock and Tyler Simmons. That's who you're going to have to rely on. And you're going to have to be able to keep up in this track meet with this LSU offense. And Georgia's defense, like, I don't think they get enough credit. Georgia's defense is pretty good. Very physical, pretty good defense. I think they're going to have to do to LSU's offense what Florida did, which Florida kind of contained Jake Fromm because I think Florida and Georgia's defense is kind of parallel to each other, but I think there's just more talent on that Georgia defense than Florida's. And I think they're going to have to do that, but the only difference is Kyle Trask can score points against LSU. And mind you, this LSU defense is not that good. They're 35th in the nation in defense. So they're not that good. But Kyle Trask had issues scoring against this defense. And if you have an injured, maybe not 100% DeAndre Swift, and then you also have one of your best wide receivers out for the season, and you have the other best wide receiver suspended for the first half, if you don't know how important Cagers and Pickens are, 66 receptions, 974 yards, and 10 touchdowns combined for those two wide receivers. So, yeah, they're very, very important. Now, mind you, running game, they can manage. They got a lot of talent in that running back core. But obviously, DeAndre Swift is the MVP of that offense, outside of course, Andrew Thomas, who's on the offensive line. But that's going to be the key. Can they keep up in this track meet with LSU? And I don't think they can. If Cager was playing in this game, if DeAndre Swift was 100%, if Pickens didn't get suspended for the first half, where I think that's where LSU is going to dominate, then I would probably make this a whole different game. But I know Georgia's had their SEC title slumps. They've obviously won against Auburn before, but last year obviously lost that close game against Alabama where Jalen Hurts entered the game in the second half. And that's a game that they had control of, and then all of a sudden they gave it away. And they lost that, and obviously that hurts because they were a two-loss team that possibly, I think, and I'm going to say this year in and year out, even with a two-loss team, they end up putting Notre Dame at four. That two-loss Georgia team was way better than that Notre Dame team that was undefeated. And they should have been in the playoffs last year. And I think they're going to miss the mark this year once again because of the situations and the scenarios that you're not going to be able to keep up in this track meet. Tua could barely, even without him, you know, Tua being 100%, he can barely keep up with this track meet that LSU is going to run on that offensive side. So I just don't see this game going Georgia's way. I hope it does because I want to see two SEC teams because I'm stingy. And maybe they'll play the SEC on CBS theme song as a commemorative welcome to SEC teams to the college football playoffs. Maybe they'll play that in the background as they announce it. I don't know. I don't think they'll do that because ESPN, you know, they own the rights of that stuff, so they're not going to put CBS themes on there. But I just don't see them competing, and I think LSU will win this game. I don't think they're going to win this game convincingly, but they will win this game. And Georgia, it'll be just like last year where Jalen Hurts entered the game and then they beat the Georgia Bulldogs and ruined their playoff hopes once again. So I think, once again, Kirby loses out on the playoffs. But I do see this game being a competitive game. And if they can keep it, if they can get to the second half, you know, maybe low-scoring game, maybe a 17-14, because that's what you're going to have to do to beat LSU, is keep it low-scoring, then maybe they'll get a chance with Pickens coming back. Pickens is going to have a monster second half. Jake Fromm is going to have the best game of his season if they're going to be able to get past LSU and that offense. And plus, Joe Burrow's got a Heisman on the line in this game as well. So be expecting a big game from him and that LSU offense. But speaking of Jalen Hurts on another team, not Alabama. Bet Alabama wishes they had him, though, instead of Mac Jones. Just saying. Jalen Hurts in the Oklahoma Sooners going against Baylor. Now, this game, similar to Wisconsin and Ohio State, this is a very different game, though. This is a rematch game, obviously. But Baylor had control of that game. They were leading 28-3 going into halftime. And guess what? Oklahoma ended up winning that game by dominating the second half of that ball game. And, you know, they scored 24 points in the second half to get them over the hump. And I think, and this is without CeeDee Lamb, I mind you. CeeDee Lamb did not play in that game. He will play tonight. I keep saying tonight, this morning. I want it to be a night game, maybe. That's probably why. I keep saying tonight because it's fun. Because the two biggest games, I think, are Oklahoma-Baylor and Georgia and LSU. And these two games are earlier. And the nightcap is Virginia-Clemson and Ohio State-Wisconsin. I would have reversed those. But anyway, I think Oklahoma with CeeDee Lamb coming back in this game. You know, Baylor has been a good team. Charlie Brewer's had a good season. You know, he did struggle in the second half of that Oklahoma game. Look, I just think Oklahoma knows they have to win this game. Baylor knows they have to win this game. The winner of this game is going to go to the college football playoff, depending on how that fourth slot falls. If it's, you know, if it's Clemson, if it's whoever. Depending on how that fourth slot falls, the winner, and obviously a lot of it's going to play a big part in what happens in the SEC championship game. If Georgia wins, then you have a conversation. Do you put Oklahoma in over Georgia? Well, obviously not Georgia, but do you put Oklahoma in? And obviously that kicks out because basically the standings will just stay what it is. Georgia will be four, and then the Pac-12 will be pretty much out of it, just like the Big 12, will be out of it, like the Pac-12. But I see Oklahoma winning this game, and I do think LSU will beat Georgia, so I think Oklahoma will be the fourth team in the college football playoffs when it's all said and done. And with CeeDee Lamb coming back, now it's all going to fall on what Oklahoma's defense is going to be able to do in this game because their defense has not played well at all this year. So we'll see what their defense does. They did play pretty good against Oklahoma State last week, and you know they got a good running game, and they got a good offense as well. So if their defense plays like they did against Oklahoma State, against Baylor, or in the second half of that Baylor game, if Charlie Brewer has a game like Tyler Huntley had last night for Utah, I think Oklahoma will run with this game convincingly because guess what? They'll have two top 10 wins now against Baylor. So, but kudos to Matt Rhule, and this has been the season of new coaches, you know, emerging, the PJ Flex, the Matt Rhules of the world, you know, Coach O, who's not really a new coach, and obviously none of those guys are either, but he's emerged as now a top coach now, Ed Orgeron has. And this has been the year of coaches emerging and building on the future of some of these head coaches, and PJ Fleck and Matt Rhule's done a great job with especially Baylor, because that Baylor program, look up, I'm not going to explain the whole details of the story of Baylor and Art Briles and all that, but Google it, trust me. Probably don't Google it because it's awful. But the way Matt Rhule is able to get these guys together and almost had an undefeated season because they almost beat Oklahoma and could have went into this game undefeated. You have to give credit where credit's due for Matt Rhule and what he was able to do in this program. Saturday selections when we come back right here, Saturday Tailgate, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Welcome back, Saturday Tailgate, ESPN 102.5, The Game. I am Marquise Munson, the last segment of the show. Remember, stay right here. Keep it locked. Right here, ESPN 102.5, The Game, because Oklahoma-Baylor, pregame beginning at 10, the game beginning at 11, and you can listen to that right here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Also, the Devils take on the Preds with pregame beginning at 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. And also, if you want a little hoops, MTSU basketball will take on Murray State 6:30, and that's on 94.9 Game 2. Captain Kirk, let's get to the Saturday selections.
We're closing in on kickoff around the nation. Time to make this week's picks against the spread.
Let's go. Let's go. We got to do.
These are our Saturday selections.
Let's begin with number 20, Cincinnati, going up against Memphis today. And Matt Norvell getting some talks about the Florida State job. Miss Memphis in the Liberty Bowl Stadium. In Memphis for the American Conference Championship game. Memphis minus the 9.5. I am going to, if I'm doing the spread, I'm taking Cincinnati in this game. I do think Memphis will win this game, but I believe that Cincinnati will cover because it's all about who covers, right? So I'm going to go Cincinnati to cover. I think it's going to be a close game. The last game was really good. I think this is going to be similar to that, a sequel to that. So I'm going to go with Cincinnati covering the spread, but Memphis getting the job done and getting the championship. Matt Norvell heading over to Florida State. Speaking of another coach that's headed out of Florida, and that's Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic -9 against UAB. Lane Kiffin getting some talks for the Ole Miss job. So this may be one of his last games there. I'm going to take, look, I know UAB's defense is pretty good. They didn't show that against Tennessee, but they do have a pretty good defense. But this offense by Florida Atlantic will get them the win. They're averaging 34 points a game. So I'm going to take Florida Atlantic in that one. Let's go to the big games now. I just wanted to talk about those two games because those two games have some pretty big implications when it comes to the head coaching jobs out here. Let's go to Georgia and LSU. LSU -7.5 against Georgia. I think this is going to be a closer game than we think. I do think LSU will win the game, but I'm going to go Georgia to cover. I do think Georgia can lose this game by a field goal, and that's what it's kind of going to go down to. It's going to be bad that their season's going to end like that because last year their season ended by a touchdown by Jalen Hurts, and they lost that game 35-28, but I see this game ending in a field goal. I think LSU will go to the college football playoffs, obviously. And look, I'm hot take right here. Hot take right here. Hot take alert. LSU's going to win the national championship. There we go. Keep it in the SEC, baby. I love it. And as a celebration, as Coach O's on the float, the Mardi Gras floats in New Orleans or in Baton Rouge as well, they're going to be playing the SEC on CBS theme song in the background as Coach O's riding down on the floats. Wisconsin and Ohio State. Ohio State -16. I am going to take Ohio State with that one. I think Ohio State's going to dominate this game. I don't think Wisconsin has enough offense to be able to keep up with that team and Ohio State. And I think it's going to be Ohio State LSU in the national championship game. I think these are the two best teams all throughout the college football season. I think these are the two teams that deservingly so needs to be in the college football playoffs. I do think Ohio State, Justin Fields versus Joe Burrow. And a good story that, you know, Joe Burrow left Ohio State to come to LSU, and then he all of a sudden possibly beats Ohio State for the championship game. I think that's going to be the national championship game. That's a game that everybody would enjoy to watch. So I'm going to go Ohio State to cover and Ohio State to get the victory. And I know Dabo doesn't like to hear that because he's going to say, oh, he's kicking us out already. Oh, he's kicking us out. He's going to probably diss me like he did Paul Feinbaum earlier this week. But Virginia and Clemson, Clemson -29. So this is why Clemson cannot lose this game. I'm going to take Virginia to cover the spread, though. I think Virginia will keep it a close game. They're not going to win. I think Clemson ends up still winning this game by maybe 2 touchdowns, maybe 17, but not 29. Virginia's bad, but they're not that bad. I will go Virginia to cover, but I will go Clemson to get the victory. And the final game, the game that is coming up right here, ESPN 102.5, the game, pregame starting at 10 o'clock, game starting at 11. That is Baylor and Oklahoma. Oklahoma -8.5. I will take Baylor to cover, but I will take Oklahoma to win the game. I think all these games are going to be very, very close games. So let's forget what happened last night on Friday night. You probably did forget already because the Pac-12 is a very forgetful conference. Let's forget about what happened in that championship game last night, and let's just focus on today's games. Because I think outside of maybe, and I do think Virginia will keep it competitive in the game, but I think Clemson would end up running away with it. I think Baylor-Oklahoma, I think Ohio State-Wisconsin maybe early on, but then obviously Ohio State's going to run away with it. I think Baylor and Oklahoma and Georgia-LSU are going to be two really, really good games today. So enjoy it because it's coming to an end as we say goodbye to this show as well. Saturday Tailgate, ESPN 102.5, the game. Thank you guys for tuning in. For Captain Kirk, I'm Marquise Munson. Stay tuned. Soak it in, ladies and gentlemen. Oklahoma Baylor next right here. ESPN 102.5, the game, and streaming on the Game National app.